Telephone, I have with me State Senator Julie Daniels, and good morning. How are you doing today?
Morning, Tom. I am just fine. It's a great day in Bartlesville.
It always seems to be. We ran into each other out at the ribbon cutting for the Tower Center at Unity Square, and we had a brief conversation about that recent United States Supreme Court decision involving Indian lands here in the eastern part of Oklahoma. And I think you were on a little bit of a fact-finding mission, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, yes, I've had an opportunity to read the decision and the dissent since then. And I will say again, I'm disappointed in the outcome. This is 113 years of settled law in the state of Oklahoma, and that's been upended because the Supreme Court looked at only one of the three factors that it has said in the past that it needs to apply when looking at issues of Indian law.
Mm-hmm.
And they chose to focus just on the fact that in one particular treaty or statute, Congress failed to say, we disestablish the Creek Reservation. And by not saying that specific word in that specific place, that upends all the legislation, multiple acts between that time and the time of statehood and all the settled law since then. So that's crying over spilt milk. That's what they've done. Congress should go in and take this action. I doubt that they will do so. But for now, this applies only to the Creek, quote, reservation, close quote, because, I mean, I grew up saying to people there are no reservations in Oklahoma, and even in reading the opinion, there are several quotes from tribal leaders over the years, particularly discussing gaming law, that there are no reservations in Oklahoma. And the gentleman in question is serving life sentence plus 1,000 years for the rape and sodomizing of a four-year-old girl. And he's been in prison for 20 years, and now this argument comes forward. So it's disappointing, but what it does right now, it means that if under the Major Crimes Act of the mid-19th century, if an Indian, how we determine that exactly is one of the things we'll have to sort out, is that self-proclaimed, and then does a tribe have to verify that somebody is actually Indian? If the perpetrator of the offense is an Indian and we are on the historical Creek Reservation land, that person would be tried in federal court. So let's say eventually this applies to the Cherokee Nation and Cherokee, quote, reservation, close quote, that would include Bartlesville. So if an Indian perpetrated an offense on a non-Indian, your local police department may or may not be the ones that investigate that crime. There could be cross-deputization. They're talking about that now. It certainly means that your local district attorney, whom we elected as Oklahomans, our elected district attorney, our elected judge, will not be involved with this case. It will go to the federal district court in Tulsa. The manpower there is much more limited. And, of course, the federal prosecutor is appointed by the President of the United States. That person was not elected by the people of the state of Oklahoma. And I include in that, Tom, my fellow citizens who also have the privilege of being tribal citizens. Of course, I was elected to represent Oklahomans in District 29, whether or not they also have a tribal citizenship. So it's problematic in that things that used to be local will no longer be local, and the accountability level will be different. On the flip side of the perpetrator being Indian, if the victim is Indian, that will go to the federal court. And you might have a victim who says, I prefer for the prosecution of this offender to be in the county district court and done by the county district attorney, but there won't be an option.
Mm.
Now, in terms of people in prison now, they were scrambling last week to figure that out. There will have to be a hearing. You won't just say, I'm an Indian, you have to let me out. There will be some sort of petition. There will have to be a hearing. It is true that some people serving sentences now will choose to stay there because the federal penalty might be greater. But it is also true, I think, that where the statute of limitations has run on the federal offense, on the equivalent federal offense, it is possible that there will be people who will not serve their entire sentence in Oklahoma for their crime, and they will be released, and they will not be able to be retried again. It's also true that if a number of years have passed, like with Mr. McGirt, who's been in prison 20 years, when you retry somebody, can you recreate the chain of evidence, the witnesses? You will not be able to do it exactly as it was done 20 years ago, so you may not be able to proceed with that prosecution. So, right now it has a narrow impact. It possibly will apply to the other four civilized tribes, which would then mean the Cherokee, the Seminole, the Chickasaw, and the Choctaw would also be included. And there's been some media about negotiations between the state and the tribes and Congress. And I'm trying to find out more information about this today because it hasn't mentioned the governor in those media reports. And as I understand it, the governor is the one who negotiates with the tribes. You know, we're going through all these issues with the tribal compact and what authority he has. So I want to be reassured that the governor I elected to negotiate with the tribal government is the one involved. And I also am concerned that in some haste, there will be some agreements about these other parts of the law that don't apply in this decision. And this needs to be done very, very, very carefully. I also have a call into Congress Hearn's office to discuss it with him. So it's a new day. It would be nice for all of Oklahoma if Congress would go in and disestablish Creek Reservation in that 19th Century Act and put us all back on the footing and the legal status that we have been in for 130 years of statehood. So there's going to be a lot more on this. Nothing happens immediately. But it's got a lot of tentacles to it that we need to be careful about. And losing that local accountability for offenses that occur in your community, I think should be really problematic for the citizens of the state of Oklahoma.
I think a lot of people feel that way. They do.
Yeah.
Senator, go ahead.
And that is not to in any way diminish or see as unimportant the history of the tribes in Oklahoma, our partnerships, our shared history. I understand that there's a lot in history that isn't good, depending on your perspective or what you experience. But history is history, and we've come through 113 years of statehood together as Oklahoma citizens, tribal and non-tribal. And we very much celebrate tribal culture, celebrate the reawakening of some aspects of tribal sovereignty. We know that the Cherokee Nation is a great partner here in northeastern Oklahoma, and I in no way want to denigrate that, even though I'm disappointed in the outcome of this particular decision, and I do think it has ramifications that we haven't quite wrapped our arms around yet.
All right. Thank you, Senator. I really appreciate that. I know you have to get on another call, and I really thank you for laying this out for us here today on K1.
Okay, Tom. Wonderful to talk to you, and I'll catch up with you later.
All right. Thank you very much. Senator Julie Daniels right here.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral.